WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program here on Tuesday morning. And, you know, with all the news that we just heard and everything that's going on in the world, people are going to get stressed out. And certainly, you know, we all try to do our best to navigate our way through that. But sometimes we need a little bit of advice. We need a little bit of help. And joining us now, we have someone who can help you with that. Someone who has been doing that for folks for a long time and who is going to be coming to Fall River this weekend with a chance for you to learn some of these techniques that she'll teach you about in her own very kind of unique, humorous and entertaining way. Joining us now, we have internationally acclaimed stress expert, humorist, author, speaker, and TV personality, Loretta LaRoche. She joins us on the program this morning. Good morning, Loretta. How are you?
Good morning. Well, I'm still okay, even after I heard all that disastrous news. Oh, my God.
I mean, it really is. I can imagine that when people come to you and they tell you, you know, what's stressing them out, that probably plays a big part in it. All of this stuff that's bigger than us that we really can't do anything about, yet still kind of works its way into our psyche all the time.
It certainly does. It permeates the cellular structure and make your stress go way up. And the nation in and of itself now is experiencing over 50% stress. So we got to get back to a little bit of laughter, for God's sake.
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, we're always going to have things that stress us out. The problem is that we don't know how to deal with it. We don't know how to handle it.
Well, ignoring it sometimes is good. And it would be nice if we could hear some good news. Like, I didn't hear anything about maybe 10 people eating carrots for 2 weeks felt better. We never hear anything good. It's always bad, bad, bad.
Well, I mean, the standard line that we use in the news is, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. And, you know, people want negative news because they don't respond to positive news. It doesn't get the ratings and all that. But I don't find that to be the case at all. If we write a nice story on our website about a positive thing, it does way better than the negative stories do. People do want that positive stuff. They do want to be able to just look around at society and say, yes, there is a glimmer of hope here.
Well, hopefully, you know, hope is the thing with feathers that perches on the soul. That's an Emily Dickinson poem. And, you know, learning to see, self-reflect, and some of the humor that's hidden within us. We have to learn to laugh at ourselves because we're really the joke.
Well, and you've always used humor as a way to send that message home. But the problem with humor is it can be one of those things that's kind of malleable at times. And some things that might be funny to some people aren't funny to others. And sometimes, depending on the climate and the temperature of the world, you know, some things don't become funny. But really, universally, we all want to laugh. We all love the feeling of laughing. So I don't know why we start to put all these different, you know, limitations on being able to laugh.
Well, I always trace some of my origins to my Italian neighborhood, where laughter was always a part of the day, and so was all kinds of drama. So people would laugh, they'd cry, they'd yell, and then they'd eat. Everything was about eating. Even at a funeral, pretty, you know, what are we going to have now? Is the lasagna ready? So, you know, I think that we have to get back to getting together and sharing, breaking bread, and enjoying some of the comedic moments of life. Because if we don't, everything is penny, penny. The sky is falling. And, you know, in the end, we're all going to be in the same place.
Oh, right.
I think we ought to lighten up a little, don't you?
Oh, I agree. But also, it's not, you know, this sounds like you're speaking kind of anecdotally or through experience, but you've actually done the research into how this works from a brain chemistry level, from a scientific level, and that still bears out. All of these things that we're talking about bears out even on a physiological level.
Well, more and more now, they're coming out with some of the studies. In fact, the AARP magazine that comes out once a month is including laughter as one of the coping mechanisms, which I thought, hallelujah, that's finally happening. Because when you laugh, you release endorphins, chemical cousins to opiates, heroin, and morphine. So it's a form of self-medication without taking a drug. And anytime people all laugh together, it becomes like a social lubricant. We're all laughing at the same thing. And even if you pretend to laugh, you get the same chemical output. So it's a fascinating modality, and we need to really pay more attention to it. And if you notice, little kids laugh a lot. And pretty soon, you got to get really, really dull and worrisome. Oh, my God, that's not adults. Stop laughing so much. And I get it. We have a lot of things that are not nice and that are troublesome. But that's life. Life has its ups and downs. And hopefully, you'll pay attention to the ups so you'll feel better when you have the downs.
And some people might look at that and say, well, of course, you know, little kids will laugh more because they don't feel the stress. They don't know the weight of that. But really what it is they might know the stress and they might understand that to some degree, but they also know that, you know, they've got their whole lives ahead of them. There's another day ahead. And so they don't lose that perspective. Whereas we as adults kind of, you know, we have a micro view of it. And we kind of forget that this too shall pass.
Well, we sort of have the message instilled in us as we are growing older about work, 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 work. Don't be so silly. You got to get this done. We are like workaholics in this country. We don't take the time to rest, to let the brain rest so that it can have more space to think about what's important. We just keep going like the Energizer Rabbit. And at the end, you know, my son always says, Ma, don't say that. But we're all going to die. And I've never seen a tombstone that said, did everything, died anyway.
That's a great point. We are speaking with Loretta LaRoche. She's going to be performing at the Narrow Center. She's going to be up there sharing stories and making you laugh, but also helping you learn how to deal with the stress coming up on Sunday, September 21st at the Narrow Center. So as someone who has been on stage and experienced that crowd laughing, I think you can probably attest to this. There's almost you up there on stage can see and feel that physical release of everybody kind of letting all that go and letting that all get up there out into the ether. And it becomes a palpable thing when people are having a good time and letting go of that stress.
Absolutely. You can see the whole facial structure changing from people who come in all pursed and upset and they look like a dead parrot. And all of a sudden, a smile comes on and they actually look totally relieved. The shoulders come down, the tension sort of leaves. And, you know, it may be even momentary, but it's giving your body, mind a rest. And that's what we've forgotten in this culture, how important rest is and being in the moment. Everything is the future. You know, even every time I go to the supermarket, I laugh because people in line are like chomping like bisons pawing the earth. I have to get out of here. So crowded. One woman standing behind me was harumphing and breathing heavily. And she says, I don't know what's going on here, but every time I come in here, it fills up with people. I said, really? I said, I think it's a plot. The manager goes in his office and he calls people so that we can all be annoyed. Why can't you just stand in line and enjoy the moment? That you don't have to do anything but stand in line. But that's something that we really have to teach more, even beginning in school.
Right. We need more of that communal aspect. And one of the things is, and I know people like to say, well, we went through a pandemic where people were isolated and that's going to have an effect. No, this was something that was happening before that, where people were becoming more insular.
Absolutely.
And they weren't part of that bigger community anymore.
Well, I've been writing about this for about 30 years. And you're absolutely right. This has just happened today. It's been an ongoing process. And more we're living alone, sort of, you know, and getting on the phone all the time, texting. I want to hear a human voice. So many times I get a text that's like a biography. Can this end soon? Why didn't you call me, which would take maybe 5 minutes to say what you're saying now, which is making me go crazy.
Well, I mean, I'm definitely guilty of that myself. So I can't But one of the things that I assume is when you are getting people together and they're having this good time, this is not, this is something that's ingrained in our DNA. Like, we have been gathering together for storytelling and for entertainment for millennia. And this is a way for us to kind of get back to that ultimate sense of community. And like you said, you see people let their guards down and you see them probably go in there with, I mean, I'm guilty of it myself. I go into a comedy show and say, there's no way I'm going to laugh. You know, it's so hard to make me laugh because I don't find most comedians funny. And then once you get into it and you say, let me get this stick out of my butt and just kind of enjoy the moment, then you let go and you realize that you are enjoying the company of others.
Absolutely. That's funny, the stick. Okay. I call it sphincterizing when you when you squeeze your butt cheeks and all of a sudden your face starts to resemble your butt.
And you're it's almost like you're actively trying not to laugh at that point. You know, you're trying to have a bad time.
Well, because that's what you've been doing all week, maybe. You know, the horrible traffic, the noise, the people that don't listen, this and that, the other. We have a whole list.
So,
well, what about the things that make you feel good?
Right. I mean, and how do you focus on that? I mean, it has to be an active decision on your part to make that your focus, to focus less on the stressful things and more on the things that give you that relief.
That's something that we really have to practice. That's the trouble. You know, we become habituated to noticing the negative, and it seems to be so much a part of the culture. So you have to make a transition, and I think it's starts at home. Parents, maybe when a little child, you know, is beginning their life, ask them what happened today that was great. And the first thing I say is, well, I woke up. So I'm still here. I have a chance to do something that makes me feel good. It's training. We have to train, just like mindfulness, meditation. That's all training. And a lot of people don't realize how that changes the wiring in the brain and makes you feel less stressed.
And we talk a lot on this show about nostalgia, and nostalgia gives you that kind of same release, that same feeling, that same endorphin rush. But at the same time, you know, it's something that it's fleeting, but it's a moment that you can always kind of recall and bring back. We tend to forget about that. Instead, you know, getting the nostalgia for those good moments, instead we think more about when that worst thing that ever happened to us pops back into our head and we go through that experience again and again and again. Rather than that thing that we loved, we just tend to dwell on the things that made us feel at our absolute worst.
Or we talk about all our ailments and our headaches. I mean, today we are so focused on ailments. A lot of times when I get together with friends, we spend a little bit of time having what I call an organ recital. Oh, this is not good. I need this done. So I think we just got to get off that track. But how is that going to happen unless everybody pitches in and changes it? Try to listen to yourself. You know, are you always sharing what's wrong with you?
And it's interesting you mentioned that, because I've made a conscious effort on that, because so often people would ask, you know, just start a conversation with, hey, how are you? How have you been? And if I led my way into it with whatever negative thing was happening, that then opens the door for them to share whatever negative thing is happening with them. Then I'm internalizing their negative experience. And now that's doubling, because
right.
I've talked about mine and now I'm hearing about theirs. So now I just respond with, I'm doing okay. How about you?
Well, it becomes a contest. Oh, I don't feel good. Oh, really? Well, I have a tumor. Okay, you win.
Right. And then really, who wins in that argument anyway?
And then we have to tell people everything we're going to do the whole day. We're going to the dentist. We're doing this. We're doing that. Okay, fine. Who cares? Tell me something fun. What else are you going to do with the day?
I'm going to ask you a question of what people can expect when they come to see you on Sunday at the Narrow Center. What does the Loretta LaRoe show entail for the audience?
Well, I try to really do a myriad of things, not just, you know, ha ha. I'm not a stand-up comedian. I've really been doing this for a good long time, and I try to get people to understand the nature of stress starts with your thoughts. And if your thoughts are kind of always on the brink of a nightmare, you're always going to be stressed, because it's thoughts, feelings, behavior. So I kind of show them that segue as to how we leap into these things and then get sad, lonely, frightened by what we're saying. So we have to make sure periodically that we sort of look at what we're thinking about. Think about what you're thinking about and see if you can change it. You get 6,000 thoughts a day. That's a lot of stuff that contains a lot of crap. That's not always true. So the thoughts are the beginning. Then think about, who do you hang out with? Do you have people around you that can lighten you up, or you lighten up? And are you having any fun? Fun is the best revenge. Don't always talk about what you have to do. Oh, my God, the end of the week, I can't wait. Well, what are you doing on day to day? I find my bird feeder to be one of my fun things. I look out and I say, look at this. Look what they're doing. They don't care about anything but flying around and eating. So you have to think about what you're going to do that makes life better, or the people in your life that make life better. And are you having fun? And can you be funny once in a while? Do something outrageous. Wear a funny hat. I have costumes that reflect our idiosyncratic behavior. And I think that's important. Maybe you sit at the table sometimes at night with an Attila the Hun hat so you can show your family you're the control freak. It's a whole bunch of things. Sometimes I don't even know what I'm going to do.
Well, I can tell you, though, that, you know, you said, you know, can you be funny? I can tell you from my experience, out of all the conversations that I have with people on the radio, when I'm out presenting things, whatever, there's no better feeling than getting a laugh, than making a group of people laugh, because not only do you know that you made them feel better, but that actually makes you feel better, too. And to me, I think it's one of the most addictive things in the world.
I love it. And, you know, people don't realize how important it is, even sometimes in situations that are not so funny. I've read Man's Search for Meaning, which I always tell people, read Man's Search for Meaning by Dr. Viktor Frankl. It will really show you how, in the depths of despair, people elicited some humor. And Dr. Frankl was incarcerated in Auschwitz, and he said that humor was the soul's preservation. So even at the darkest moments, sometimes you can find something to either smile or just get a small laugh. I mean, being of an Italian origin, I'll never forget going to funerals where all of a sudden somebody'd start cracking up because they would remember something that the person who passed did that was funny. And all of a sudden everybody was laughing, maybe not for long, but they did get that interruption to allow the body to come to a place of in a better place for even a small bunch of moments.
I think there's no better way to leave it than that. And we're going to be looking forward to this Sunday, September 21st, at the Narrow Center. You can see Loretta in person, experience this show, experience everything, all the different, I don't want to say peaks and valleys of going through this emotional journey, because I think it's just peak after peak after peak with you. And I think what people will really appreciate is that when they come out of it, not only will they feel better, they're going to be able to keep going back to that feeling again and again, as opposed to just a one-time thing. This is lessons that they'll learn and take with them.
Yes, and you are pretty good at this too, I have to say.
Well, I mean, just because I get up early. You know, talk to me about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm probably a completely different person.
I doubt it. In there somewhere is the man with the funny.
Well, the difference is your funny is well earned and deserved. My funny is people just, you know, being nice to me when they laugh at my jokes.
I'm sure it's vis-a-vis. I hope you have a wonderful day.
You as well. And again, everybody can come out and see you. And tickets are available at the Narrow Center website. If you get them in advance, you save $5 on the tickets. The show is this Sunday. Doors open at 3. Show is at 4 p.m. So you'll still be able to get out and get a good night's sleep with all the stuff that they've learned. And that's really going to help keep them from getting stressed out.
Well, I appreciate this. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Loretta. You have a great day.
You too. Bye.
And that is Loretta LaRoche. You can see her again at the Narrow Center this Sunday. Check it out, and you can go to the Narrow Center website. Go to narrowcenter.showare.com, S-H-O-W-A-R-E, narrowcenter.showair.com, and that's where you can buy the tickets right now and save $5 from what you would pay at the door. All right, we've got to take a break here. When we come back, we'll get the news, and then we'll talk with you. 508-996-0500.
President Trump sending troops to Tennessee, another U.S. strike against a drug-running ship from Venezuela, and CDC workers return to the office.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Trump believes the man accused of murdering Charlie Kirk was radicalized online by the left.
But, you know, he went bad, and he just went bad very quickly, in a sense, because he sort of led a very normal life.
While speaking from the Oval Office, Trump said it appears Tyler Robinson had wonderful parents and was a smart guy, but something bad happened to him quickly. Kirk was a close friend of the Trump family. The president has credited Kirk for his gains in the youth vote in the 2024 election. Another U.S. strike against a suspected drug runner from Venezuela being confirmed by President Trump. He posted on Truth Social, U.S. military forces conducted a second strike against a positively identified extraordinarily violent drug trafficking cartel from Venezuela in international waters. He added the strike resulted in three male terrorists being killed in action. No U.S. forces were harmed in the strike. The president is sending the National Guard into Memphis to help combat crime there. Yesterday, from the Oval Office, Trump said it will be exactly like the recent operation in Washington, D.C.
We're not going to allow this kind of savagery to destroy our society anymore. We're stopping it.
He said the Guard will be joined by agents from the FBI and other federal officers. Tennessee Republican Governor Bill Lee was in attendance at the White House to back the plan. The president again said that he's thinking about establishing a similar operation in Chicago. The daughter of former FBI Director James Comey is suing the Trump administration over her firing. Maureen Comey claims that her ousting as a federal prosecutor was done in retaliation for being her father's daughter. James Comey has been a frequent critic of Trump and was investigated in May by the FBI for an Instagram post that some say was a threat to the president's life. CDC employees are returning to the office for the first time since a shooting at the agency. Health and Human Services advised the workers to return to the Atlanta-based office yesterday. Everyone was sent home after a gunman fired hundreds of bullets into the campus and killed a police officer in August. President Trump proposing companies reduce the frequency they report their finances to the public. Trump says reporting on a semi-annual basis would save money and allow managers to focus on properly running their companies. Companies currently provide that report on a quarterly basis, and the president noted in his post that the switch is subject to approval. Supporters of the current system say it provides investors with timely opportunity as well as transparency about public companies. If you're looking for a happy place, you'll likely find it in Hawaii. Wallet Hub compared all 50 states to determine which was the happiest based on more than two dozen key metrics, including income growth, unemployment, and depression rates. Hawaii was ranked the happiest state, followed by Maryland, Nebraska, New Jersey, and Connecticut. On the opposite end of the list, West Virginia came in last. A health expert is weighing in on allergies and cold symptoms. Cleveland Clinic allergist Dr. Sandra Hong goes through what people experience this time of year with allergies.
Very frequently, it's ragweed. Most people with allergies are allergic to ragweed, but then there are multiple other types of weeds out there. There's also lots of molds.
Dr. Hong says the allergies will happen every year and are chronic, while colds resolve on their own. She said an allergist can come up with a treatment plan. A fever, sore throat, and a wet cough are more common with a cold, which typically lasts 1 to 2 weeks and can make you feel achy.
WBSM Sports.
The Red Sox host the Athletics tonight at 6:45.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
We have some clouds, chance of fog throughout the morning, partial sun this afternoon, temperatures get up to the low 70s, mostly cloudy, comfortable tonight, low in the 50s. Some sunshine for tomorrow, 70, partly to mostly sunny on Thursday, 72, and warming up to 77 on Friday with more clouds than sun. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Welcome back in. And if you were thinking about a good place to go out to eat, well, think no more. Just go to Brack's Grill and Tap. It's the premier bar and grill for elevated cuisine in a casual, relaxed setting. From a family dinner to a special date night, or just to get together with friends and watch the game, Brack's has something for everyone and every occasion. And when you go into Brack's, you really can cater it into the type of experience you want. If you want a quick, affordable lunch, they can take care of you in that regard. If you want to have a big meal with the family that isn't going to cost you a whole heck of a lot of money, they can take care of that as well. But if you really want to go out there and have a really nice night on the town, how about 24 beers on tap and plus the finest scotches, bourbons, and whiskeys? I'm not kidding. Take a look at what they have in the glass case there at the Brack's in Taunton. You'll be blown away by some of that selection. And it's all at Brack's Grill and Tap in Taunton or Brockton and the all-new Brack's Tavern in Middleborough. Make sure you follow them on Facebook to get their menu specials and events and get more at BracksGrillAndTap.com. And we do have some sad news to share with you. The news came out this morning that Robert Redford has passed away at the age of 89. He died early this morning at his home in Utah, 89 years old. And as you know, famous for roles like The Sting, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, 3 Days of the Condor, All the President's Men, The Way We Were, but then also becoming a notable director. And I think the last acting job, yeah, it says it right here. The last acting job that he had was in Avengers Endgame. So he was even part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So his career spanned different generations, different decades, and although he had kind of semi-retired and he wasn't really directing or acting that much anymore, he had been executive producing some things, and he teamed up with George R.R. Martin from Game of Thrones fame on a series on AMC called Dark Winds. If you haven't seen Dark Winds, it's a very, very good show, and he's the executive producer of that, and you can tell he kind of played a hand in developing some of the tone and atmosphere of that show based on some of his many productions that he's been involved in over the years. So the passing of Robert Redford at 89 years old. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, Tim. Yeah, it is a shame to lose Robert Redford. I can imagine. Do you remember the plot line to The Sting?
I haven't seen it in a long time, but.
Well, these two con artists, and Robert Redford is one of them, they set up this fake gambling parlor, and they specifically have a race in mind that they want to cash in on. And the race is a really big one, and it's down in Florida, and I don't remember where the fake gambling parlor is, but it's not in Florida. And so the only way that they can get the race results is by telephone. And so they set up a fake announcer, like a race announcer. Oh, he's in the stretch. He's in the coming around the last curve, all this sort of thing. But it's really 5 minutes late. And so they have the race is long over, and everybody knows how the the results are already in by the time they pretend to have the race in real time. And so they have the gamblers betting on the race when it's already over. And so they then pretend that the race went the other way, and everybody loses their money, and they put the money, of course, in a satchel and out the back door by the time people figure out that the race really was the other way. And so they want their money back, and Robert Redford and them are down the road by that time. And the reason I bring it up is in 9/11, if you look at the building number 7 had that's the building that fell late in the afternoon of 9/11. That building 7 had the New York office of the FBI, the New York office of the CIA, and the New York office of the what's the one that follows the Wall Street, the Security Exchange Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had the wire, the stock market ticker, and that they had a feed going into the Building 7. And when Building 7, all of that data got lost. Not only did the FBI's data get lost artifacts and evidence, and the CIA same way. Building 7 was an enormously important thing, but the wire was actually owned by the Wall Street Journal, and Rupert Murdoch bought the Wall Street Journal that spring. And so I've always wondered whether or not, with the dropping of Building 7, whether or not the wire has been off by a number of seconds or something, and so that the real data coming in and out of Wall Street is off by a number of seconds, and that international traders, as you know, there are a lot of people who can buy and sell online, and they do it based upon trends that are a matter of minutes or seconds. And so if somebody were to know that the wire was really off by a number of seconds, then they could cash in by billions. And so it's always crossed my mind, about that the sting plot.
Yeah.
Oh, and one other thing. You had that comedian. I was hoping to call in while she was talking. Are you familiar with a thing called the strategy of tension?
I am not, but I don't. I got another caller I want to get to, so we'll have to put a pin on that for next time.
Well, strategy of tension
is an old Nazi thing. We'll put a pin on that for next time. It's not the David Show. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you
Jeremiah
doing?
Johnson. What a movie that was! I watched it recently for the first time in a long time, and for something that came out back in the 70s. The fight scenes in that were brutal. I mean, there was no, CGI stuff or any, green screen stuff going on like that. And the fight scenes were just really brutal in that movie. And I started watching Doc Wynn's, that's about an Indian reservation. Is that right?
It takes place back in the 70s, yeah.
Right. I should have given it more time. I watched a couple of episodes, and it seemed intriguing, but I didn't seem like it was going anywhere, or maybe I was impatient or whatever. But so you think it's a good show?
It is. It's a slow burn. It definitely is a slow burn. And a lot of times they speak in Diné, the native language, and they don't always have translations on the screen. But I watch it with captions on anyway, because I watch everything with captions on. So that's a little helpful.
Gotcha, right. Okay. I'll give that a shot. Well, it's too bad he's gone. He was a great actor. And, you didn't see him a lot, like you said, in the last 20 years or so, but he did do a movie back in maybe 10 years ago where he was on a sailboat and it hit a container, I think, and his boat was slowly sinking, and you're not sure about the end if he lives or not. Had you seen that movie at all?
No.
I forgot what it was called, and it was probably about 10 years old. Look it up if you have a chance, anyways. And it was a good movie. I thought that it was good. That was the last film I had seen him in. That he had, in the recent years anyways. But keep up the good work. Always good to have you on, Tim.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
too.
And yeah, so if you want to share some Robert Redford memories in the final few moments that we have, of course, I think, you know, I grew up in the 80s when a lot of his stuff from the 70s was always on TV. And I remember, you know, we were talking about The Sting. That was always on the Movie Loft with Dana Hersey. You'd see The Sting on the Movie Loft. And then years and years ago, I watched it because I'd always kind of seen it in bits and pieces. So I watched it start to finish. And then same thing with Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. I only had seen that in bits and pieces. And then when I was in high school, watched it in its entirety. With my English teacher, and then eventually, you know, you start to pick up more and more of these movies as they were being shown on cable, or actually now most of them would probably be on like Turner Classic Movies. 3 Days of the Condor I saw on Showtime. So, I mean, you always, you know, you kind of remember and associate some of those movies with the way and the time that you watch them. But he certainly left his mark on cinema, both in front of and behind the camera, and was someone who also was pretty outspoken about his, you know, causes that he supported, his political opinions as well. So 89 years old, Robert Redford has passed away. All right, I've got to take a break here coming up. When we come back, we'll talk more with you. 508-996-0500. Hey, don't forget, too, coming up on the 29th, that is when Cape Air is going to launch its Boston and New Bedford connection. You're going to be able to fly twice a day out of New Bedford to Boston, to Logan Airport, to connect with whatever flight you need to get you to wherever your final destination is. But that means you get to go through TSA in New Bedford. That means you get to park in New Bedford. That means all the stress of going to Logan is gone, because you're just going to fly into Logan and then all of the other stress melts away, because you've taken care of everything else in New Bedford. How convenient is that? And when you think about the fact that it's about $99 a ticket, although they're going to start it off with an introductory rate of about $79 a ticket, but around $99 a ticket, when you compare that with having to take an Uber or parking your car in the garage or all these other costs associated with just getting to Logan and leaving your car at Logan, well, all of that gets mitigated here, and it's going to be much more affordable and much more relaxing. Why stress out about what is probably going to be, you know, maybe you're going on vacation. Why do you want to get stressed when you're getting ready to go on vacation? Make it nice and easy. Fly Cape Air from New Bedford to Boston. And we'll be broadcasting live, both Chris McCarthy and I. Both of our shows will be there live on the first day of the flights, on September 29th. And then I'll be taking that first flight at 8:15, taking that 35-minute gate-to-gate journey, and I'll report back to you about what it's like. But you can get your tickets now by going to capeair.com. And don't forget, too, we're giving away a free pair of passes if you go to WBSM.com and the WBSM app, and you can enter to win there. Sponsored by Cape Air. All right, let me get this break in. We will be right back. All right, we're going to go right back to the phones in just a moment. But before that, I want to let you know that with everything you got going on in your life right now, I'm sure you're super busy. You know, school's back in session, kids are back to their activities and sports and all that. Who really has time to get your laundry done, right? Well, Dash Laundromat makes it easy with their reusable laundry totes. You can just fill them up, drop them off, and then go. They'll wash, dry, and fold it and have it ready for when you are. It's quick, it's convenient, it's totally stress-free, and it's the way that you can get back into your fall rhythm with Dash Laundromat. So if you want to find out more, visit DashLaundromat.com today and download the Dash Laundromat app. It not only gives you all the information that you need, but it makes it easy to track your laundry while they're doing it for you. You're going to get it done at Dash just like I do, and it's changed my life. Made it so much better, I don't have to do laundry anymore. All right, 508-996-0500. Good morning, you're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Oh, just hanging in. Oh, I love Loretta LaRoche, but my tea kettle was boiling. So how much are the tickets?
If you get the tickets ahead of time, it's $53. If you get them at the door, it's $58.
And it's the 21st at what time?
4 p.m. Doors open at 3 p.m., but then the show is at 4.
She's so funny. I saw her at the Zyterian. I love her.
She is very funny. But very informative, too. You learn a lot as much as you laugh, too.
What was I going to tell you?
I don't know.
I can't remember now, something else you were talking about. Oh, that's bad.
Oh, I get that way too, so I feel you.
Time for coffee.
Well, we were talking about Robert Redford. Was it related to Robert Redford?
Yeah. Thank you. He's he was so handsome. He had a catalog too. You know, you could buy jewelry and clothes out of with all young girls used to model it. It was pretty cool.
I didn't know that about him. Yeah.
I had the catalog. Yeah, I used to get it. It was called Sundance, but it was quite pricey.
When was this?
What, the catalog?
Yeah, like what time period?
Oh, they still have it. It was called Sundance. And yeah, I guess you could go online and look at it, but I don't shop online. Anyway, it was a very illustrated, very nice, had a lot of turquoise and kind of like he was from Utah, right?
Yes. That's where he was living.
The catalog, the scenery was all like looking like that, you know, country out there. And when I got a coupon, I would buy something sometime, you know, because it was pricey.
Well, I'm taking a look at it now. And yeah, they definitely have some interesting stuff there.
Yeah, he did. He started that. So he was married, though, right? And had children.
I'm not sure. I'll have to look that up.
I know. I don't know too much about his life besides the movies. I was surprised he had that catalog.
Well, he definitely seemed to have his hand in a lot of things. So he definitely diversified his business interests for sure. He started the film festival out there and all kinds of stuff.
He was a good guy. All right, hon. Have a good day.
You as well. Take care.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
And just checking it out, he was married. He was his second wife. Her name is Sibyl Sagers. I'm not sure exactly how you pronounce it. But they'd been married since 2009. But yes, definitely somebody who had his hand in a lot of things and will be missed. Robert Redford passed away at the age of 89. That's going to do it for me for today. Stick around for Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now. Always an interesting show. And then, of course, Barry Richard will be back today, right after Bill O'Reilly. He's back from his vacation. He's rested. He's ready. He's got a lot to talk with you about. So he'll be back at 12:15. And then we'll have Howie Carr. And after that, it'll be Brian's Beat with Brian Thomas. And if you miss any of our shows, of course, all the podcasts are available for you on WBSM.com, on the WBSM app, and wherever else you get your podcasts from. And one of the things that I've noticed is we have a huge amount of people that listen to us on podcast. And just because you're not listening live, don't feel like you can't take part in the conversation. You can always open up the WBSM app, record your open line voicemail, send it over to us, and we can play.